Hi, I'm Kenny Walter, editor of ACP Live. Welcome to Doc Talk. While the COVID-19 pandemic has been a challenging time for basically everyone, it's been especially difficult for ADHD patients. ADHD patients often need structure and order in their life to thrive, and the events of the last 12 months have made structure and order a virtual impossibility. School, work, and social time has been conducted largely in front of the same laptop screen since March 2020. And any notion parents had of limiting their children's screen time was thrown out the window when this began. But we are hopefully coming out of the pandemic and into a new world. While debates rage on, many believe once the 2021-2022 school year rolls around, we will be ready for in-person schooling across the board. And with vaccinations moving along, we really might see a summer where people can put down their tablets, turn off their computers, and get out and have more social experiences again. But as we come out of the pandemic, we must be cognizant on how the last 12 months has impacted ADHD patients. For this episode of Doc Talk, I talk with Dr. Mary Rooney, a clinical psychologist and chief of the Child and Adolescent Psychosocial Interventions Research Program at the National Institute of Mental Health, about the state of ADHD care and how our technology advancements may have played a role in avoiding a complete disaster in ADHD care for pediatric patients.
I guess the first thing I wanted to hit on was, during the last year for pediatric patients, a lot of schooling, a lot of even maybe socializing became on the computer, became over a screen. And you always hear, before all this started, that you wanted to limit screen time, parents should limit screen time, and really that became impossible once the pandemic hit. When thinking about ADHD and thinking about adolescent patients who are growing and learning and whatnot, how much damage do you think this enhanced screen time will have moving forward for these patients?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think it's something that hopefully we will be studying as we start to come out of this pandemic and monitor what how much screen time has been used during the pandemic and how that's changed for certain adolescents and what it looks like going forward. I think that you need to sort of throw all screen time rules out the window. Like, during the pandemic was a necessary one, and the fact that we were able to continue schooling but do it remotely, we're able to have kids and adolescents maintain friendships because they were able to do it through technology is really a blessing, right? Our ability to kind of function and keep kids' world as normal as possible is due to being able to use technology. The challenge comes in with what's that transition going to look like when everything resumes, going back to in-person schooling and activities, and how much are kids with ADHD going to have a hard time changing the habits that they formed during the pandemic, where they've been on screens so much more than they ever have before, and all rules were thrown out the window. So the challenges in the adolescents changing their own habits, and then in parents now enforcing or reinforcing screen time rules that were in place before the pandemic but were thrown out the window. So I think that there's going to be a challenge around family conflict for kids and children and adolescents as parents try to rein in the screen time again. And then the other piece will be around kids with ADHD who have a tendency to, in some cases, have a harder time disengaging from screens when they're using them for things like playing video games or watching really engaging or stimulating videos on YouTube or other uses that aren't Zoom for school, right? So if they are using screens more going forward, still for playing more video games, spending more time watching videos on YouTube or TikTok, and less time doing the things that we know are healthy for kids and teens, like getting physical activity, having, normal face-to-face conversations and interactions with their peers and their family, and, even just having the time to be bored and kind of learn how to cope with that rather than being kind of this always-on culture. It's going to be the challenges around that, I think, that we're going to see going forward. And kids with ADHD are higher risk for difficulties with all those things than kids without ADHD.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I've noticed with people I know and I've seen just out in public is a lot of people probably, after going through what we've gone through the last 12 months and with the expectation that we're not over and it might be a couple months before we're truly normal, that a lot of adults say things like, I want to go to the movies more when this is over, or I want to go to more baseball games or go out to dinner more. Do you think maybe the opposite impact will happen just because ADHD patients were forced onto a screen for 12 hours a day, that once they're able to integrate back into society safely, they might kind of reject the screen and want to kind of experience more of the interpersonal things that we were used to before, and maybe that everyone kind of took for granted before the pandemic?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of individual variability in this. You're certainly going to have the kids that have just felt like they desperately miss their sports and their, seeing their friends and going out and doing all those things that we haven't been able to do. I think those kids are just going to, rebound, and I don't know if they'll do it more than they did before, but at least gladly rebound back to where they were before the pandemic started with all those activities and not look back longingly at all on their time at home during the pandemic. But then you're going to have another group of kids and potentially those that are higher on not just ADHD symptoms, but also anxiety or depression symptoms, which happen more frequently among kids and teens with ADHD than in the general population. And those kids are potentially the ones that are going to have a harder time. So the kids that are less likely in the first place to want to be very social, to want to play team sports and kind of go out and have these sort of out-of-the-house interactive hobbies and engagement with these activities, the kids that are less likely to do that in the first place or more reticent about it, or the kids who have had more social difficulties, which come up with ADHD a lot, the kids that have had a harder time making friends or maintaining friendships before the pandemic, all those kids are probably going to have a harder time after the pandemic, just like they did before. But it might be magnified, and they might look to screens as more of a kind of a way to escape all that anxiety or their struggle with mood or regulating their emotions, because they've been able to do that now habitually during the pandemic.
Okay. And another thing that another psychiatrist has told me about, more about adult patients, is he was hopeful that because now adults had to juggle a lot more things, they had to be a teacher, a parent, work from home, do more of the housemaking and things like that, just it was a lot more on their plate. He was hopeful that some people might learn more organizational skills and be better suited once we're kind of back to normal. Do you think going through what we've gone through the last 12 months, pediatric ADHD patients might have learned some valuable skills that will help them moving forward?
Yeah, so for kids with ADHD that struggle with things like organization or being really distracted, they, and adolescents too, often need to be dependent on the adults around them to help them have tools and strategies or just to help them, to help scaffold these kids and teens, like, that struggle in these areas, because they're really kind of deficits, right, or real skill weaknesses, and not something where they can sort of, on their own, pick up a new strategy or figure out something to do, at least easily, right? They can't do it as easily as somebody without ADHD. But because they've been home and their parents have been observing them learning, right, and doing their schoolwork, while their parents are working at the same time or juggling whatever they're juggling, they've been, a lot of parents that I've talked to have kind of new insight into what their child's challenges are when it comes to staying on task when they're engaged in academics or their struggles with organization throughout the day or they're getting their work done and why it's hard for them, and really having a much better understanding of the specific areas where their child needs help. And a lot of parents, because they had to, have really worked hard to figure out strategies that they can use to support their child and kind of scaffold their child to help them succeed during this time. So I think really the benefit that we'll see is that parents have had the opportunity to work through some of this with their children, have a better understanding of what their child needs in these areas, and hopefully the parents have developed a skill set to be able to really help them going forward and gradually transfer that responsibility to the child or teen as they mature and their capabilities increase.
Okay. Now, the main thing in therapy the last 12 months has been telehealth and telemedicine, and how in psych a lot of the therapy sessions could still maintain over Zoom or over a computer app. How would you assess how we've done in telemedicine, and do you think some of this, I know there's some legal things that need to happen first before you could truly have it more widespread, but assuming that all happens, do you think some of the telehealth sessions will maintain even when it's safer to be face-to-face?
Yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot of mental health treatments, therapy sessions, even, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm a psychologist, but even medication consults and check-ins, I think, continue to happen over, remotely, whether it's, you know, Zoom or another specialized mental health platform or therapy platform. But it's something where I think we've done remarkably well, with transferring everything to telehealth. I think that engagement, both, you know, from patients and in my case, with families and parents, has been fantastic. Parents have been more available and able to attend sessions as have their kids, because you're not dealing also with having the travel time to appointments, which is something that's really hard for a lot of families. And the availability of therapists, especially when you get into treatments that are a bit more specialized, like for ADHD, is really limited once you get outside of major metropolitan areas. So you have that issue of access. But even when for people who live in a major metropolitan area, because of traffic and things, it could take a family an hour within their own city, right, to get to an appointment. So you've got an hour of travel time that you need to offer each way, plus the hour of treatment. So that's 3 hours out of someone's day, which is really hard for people to do consistently, versus being able to jump on a computer, and now you've got that down to 45 minutes or an hour session. So it's just much more feasible, I think, for families. And you don't really seem to be seeing a drop-off in the effectiveness of the interventions, right? I mean, it seems like therapists are quite pretty well able to deliver the treatments over telehealth. Some therapists have gotten very creative about how they do that. And in some cases, I think it's actually been better and easier because you can really see how kids and teens and their families function in their home. And you get kind of a new insight in some cases, and you're better able to help as a provider.
Okay. And that kind of leads to my next question. And I would think this might go either way. Do you think either we might have missed a lot of screenings, a lot of initial screenings for ADHD may not have happened just because we're in the middle of a pandemic, there's a lot going on, and it just wasn't a priority for parents to take their children? Or do you think the other way, parents now see their kids at school technically, see them more, see them 16 hours a day, and might think maybe they do need help for ADHD, and screenings will actually rise because of this?
That's a really good question. I think there's just going to be a lot of variability in it. I mean, I think that there's certainly been a lot of screenings and assessments that have been delayed, right? So maybe something parents were considering before the pandemic started, and then we, you know, ended up in this situation, and it's just not something that they had the bandwidth to take on right now, or they have, you know, got their kids in pod situations, you know, where there's a, you know, a teacher in a small group format that's really been able to help their child, and their child's doing really well in that situation, but now they're concerned about their kid going back to school and how are they going to do in a regular school setting again. So I think there's going to be a lot of delayed assessments that are going to be popping up now. In terms of parents sort of not having had insight into their child's symptoms before, but now having insight, it probably won't be go from like 0 to 60 where the parents had no idea there was any kind of challenge, right? Oh, but wow, look at this. But I think it might be more that maybe teachers had mentioned something in the past, the parents weren't sure if it was really, you know, kind of rising to the level of needing to do something about it, or if it's just their kid being themselves and not something to worry about. But now when they got their kid home, they're really able to see, oh, this is what the teacher was talking about. Oh, I can see how all these other kids on this Zoom, you know, class right now are more or less able to stay engaged in mine and still keep sitting in the chair and going off screen and doing anything but paying attention. Now I get it. So it, I think there'll be some light bulb moments for parents who were unsure before. But more often than not, except for in the case of very young kids, I think that probably it will be the case that people thought something was probably up before, but now really think, okay,
Now
it's time to do something.
So, all right, and I think it being 2020, 2021, how much do you think it is better off that this happened in this modern time with access to this technology as opposed to, say, 20 years ago where, you know, single-digit percentage of homes had computers and internet access, not 20 years ago, probably 30 years ago, single-digit people had internet and games and whatnot. Do you think it's better off now that it happened? How damaging would it be without the access to telehealth, to virtual school, and things of that nature?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's something I've thought about a lot over the last year. And I think it's... there's a number of different ways, right, that you could think about that. I think that in, from an education and access standpoint, I think it's been a blessing for kids and families to have the means to have high-quality internet at home and have parents around who are able to supervise their kids on, you know, on homeschooling, and who have the ability to have their kids engaged in pods and learning pods and things like that. For them, for many of them, and especially for kids with ADHD, in many cases, they've been learning quite well over the last year. But there's a huge disparity, right, because then you have families from typically lower-income backgrounds who don't have the same access and means that other parents have, and their kids have really suffered. So then the kids with ADHD in that space and other mental health challenges are probably some of those who have suffered the most. So I think what it's done is accelerated, at least from an education standpoint, this disparity that was already there. I think it's magnified it and accelerated it. And so we're going to be dealing with the long impact of that for quite some time. And I think that if had this happened in a different time, we just wouldn't have had that disparity in access to education or extra supports like we're seeing today, because so much of that is driven by technology access. The other piece of it, though, is if this had happened when there was no technology, that we may have rushed people back into in-person learning very quickly. Maybe we would have found ways to keep everyone healthy and safe while doing that. I don't know. But there's a chance that there would have been greater transmission of the virus, right, and then a greater health impact as a result of that. So I think there's a number of different lenses that you can put on it, but there's no denying that technology has shaped everyone's experience during this pandemic and probably think about it.
And that kind of leads to one of the last things I wanted to hit on. Obviously, school has been so different, and it has been hybrid in a lot of places, and there has been in-person learning. But how challenging is it for an ADHD student to deal with the kind of cumbersome nature of in-classroom learning this school year with, you know, guardrails and pods and, you know, desks that are so far away, and teachers have to make sure nobody's touching each other or getting too close? And do you think that's especially challenging for an ADHD student to kind of deal with this unique in-person school?
Yes. I think it's been really hard for them on many levels, right? So when they're in the in-person environment, like, I mean, it's gotten better over time as these things have become kind of, they've gone from being new things to being habits, right, all the social distancing protocols. But it's really hard. It's hard enough when you have ADHD to kind of function in a normal school environment with everything you've become accustomed to. But now you need to remember all of these other social distancing requirements and basically, like, control your impulses.
Yeah.
And all of us have had natural impulses, right? So, like, oh, I'm just talking to you. I'm going to move in closer. So what I do naturally, right? And then we kind of check ourselves.
Yeah.
But when you have ADHD, that self-monitoring piece is just really hard. So there's been some kids, anyway, with ADHD have received a lot more negative feedback from teachers, just like kind of constant correction, right? Like, hey, move over here, stop doing that, don't forget your math, you know, put it back up over your nose, you know, all of these things, right? Like, on top of everything else. And then another piece of it is, like, the bouncing back and forth, right? So, like, the hybrid learning, so sometimes you're learning at home, sometimes you're in school. The number one thing that kids with ADHD and adolescents with ADHD thrive on is routine and structure. And when that, even if it's routine in either home or at school, when you're flipping back and forth between the two, it can be really hard. And so I know that a lot of kids and teens have struggled with that aspect of it, kind of the lack of consistency, and in the meetings. And also just some anxiety around, you know, is this, okay, I'm back in school right now, but what if we get shut down again?
Hmm.
Or I'm home, but when am I going to be going back to school? What if that happens tomorrow and I don't really want to, right? So all of those pieces have really kind of been exacerbated for kids with ADHD.
Yep, there's an unknown with everything, just how long certain things were going to last and whether or not, you know, we're truly through this, and hopefully we are. Thank you. And then my last question is kind of a two-part question. One, what would you say, what is your biggest fear that the last 12 months has caused this particular patient population? And two, if you could give advice, if we could fast forward to next school year and next September and we're fairly normal and enough people are vaccinated and in-person schools happening, sports happening, the risk of contracting the virus is fairly low. What would your advice to either a patient or a parent of a patient be?
Yeah, so in terms of, like, biggest concerns for kids with ADHD, kids and teens, about the impact of this past year, I worry that those who are already behind academically have fallen further behind if they haven't been able, if they haven't kind of successfully managed the remote learning or hybrid learning situations, or haven't had the resources, if the families haven't had the resources to really give them everything they need in order to be supported during this time. So that when they're back in person, they're going to have kind of an even bigger hill to climb to kind of catch up or keep up with their peers. And then I really worry also about the transition back to quote-unquote normalcy for kids with ADHD who also have, as I mentioned before, some of the, you know, social anxiety or generalized anxiety or depression or social skills deficits, right, who are really at weaknesses in those areas, and what this kind of being thrust back into normal will look like for them, and will they have the support they need to be able to really successfully kind of reintegrate and reestablish or form new friendships and new social circle, or are they really going to struggle, and is that going to cause some additional mental health challenges for them? And in terms of advice, you know, kind of looking once we're really outside of this pandemic and things are, you know, quote unquote back to normal, for parents and teens and kids with ADHD, the biggest thing I think in addition to kind of making sure that they're getting the support they need academically, is to really have them involved in structured activities, right? So things that they enjoy, things they're passionate about, things that will really facilitate forming those friendships, maintaining those relationships, and giving them opportunities to participate in something where they really excel and are passionate about that, that gets them kind of outside of the challenging academic situations they often find themselves in, and also keep them off screens because they're doing something else that they enjoy and aren't even thinking about screens at that time. And then also, I think for the kids and teens themselves and their parents to just have a lot of patience and recognize that this has been harder for kids with ADHD and their families, and the transition back is going to be harder than for families and kids who are not affected by ADHD. And just have as much patience as possible with yourself as a parent and with your child, your teen, as everybody kind of tries to muddle their way through through this next phase of hopefully returning to normal.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Rooney. Is there anything else you want to say about this topic?
No, I think just that I think overall, I think as a field, mental health field, I think everyone's really done a remarkable job of trying to get all the patients the treatments they need during the pandemic, and I'm hopeful that some of the lessons that we learned about being able to do things over telehealth really do improve access going forward, and that we're able to care for more of the patients who need it.
Thank you.